Deep cleansing breath. And exhale. Sometimes I need to take a deep breath because I'm an emotional guy. I've really appreciated hearing all the elders and everybody's words tonight. I feel like I've learned a little bit more about you, and I feel like I've been able to connect with you at a little bit of a deeper level. That means a lot to me, to know where you guys came from. So thank you very much. Just in review, we've talked about how he is the Father, and I'm his child. He demonstrates his unfathomable humility. God's people are my family, and I am a new creation. I am not who I once was, and you cannot run from God's love. So I thank you guys for reminding me of those important lessons. When I was young, 14, 15, I went through a streak where I was doing some things that were pretty felonious, I think would be the exact word. It wasn't just sneaking out. It was like destroying property, taking things that didn't belong to me. I never really got into the drug or the party scene, but I was pretty much about everything else. And the whole time this was going on, I identified as a Christian. It's just very, very fascinating. So I identified with that. I was like Doug. I really didn't like church. I didn't really want to be there. I hated church. The only book of the Bible I wanted to read was Revelation because it's kind of sexy. You know, it's really like entertaining. There's like dragons and stuff going on, that like chariots of fire. And you can read that over and over and over again and not get bored. And so that was really the only one that I cared about. Like I said, 13, 14, 15. But all of this identifying as a Christian and running around doing sinful stuff actually created an attitude in my heart of self-hatred. I did not like who I was. I could not reconcile the person that I said I was with the things that I was doing, and it created like this mental, like this cognitive dissonance. You know, this like a feeling of being like ripped apart right down the middle, because I was not living up to who I said I was. I wasn't agreeing. My actions weren't agreeing with the values that I actually said that I believed in. So one night, I was at a bonfire. It was a friend of mine's party. It was probably sophomore year. We were probably 16 years old. And an older guy who was a church leader, he said, you call yourself a Christian? Yeah. He says, well, you do this and this and this and this. I said, yeah. Because I knew where this was going, and I did not like the direction he was taking me down. But I listened to him. And his name was Steve Goslin. I'll never forget that. But it was that moment, at that night, at that bonfire, that made me start to think, you know what? I really am kind of awful. I really am pretty despicable. I really am doing these things that I know are wrong. And so I had like, I looked at women real bad, and I had a really, really bad mouth, just kind of like to say whatever came into my brain. And it was usually like trash talk or gutter stuff. And so one day I was in Mrs. Starnes' fifth period anatomy and human physiology class, and a girl I didn't like told me something that I didn't like to hear, and I like stood up and like really loud, like this loud, called her all the names, you know, all the, and it was like even I surprised myself. I just remember thinking like, oh man, I'm in for it now. And she kind of like go out in the hall and everything like that, and I just remember in that moment, this strange phenomenon occurred in my spirit. It said, you are so wrong, you don't even know how to be right. And I looked up to heaven, and I looked at God, and I said, Jesus, I'm not good. I know I'm not good. I don't even know how to be good, but I know that you can make me good. And that moment was a definitive moment. It was a crisis. It was critical. It changed the directory, the trajectory of my life. And I wasn't that person that I was before. And I actually didn't keep hating myself. So the least likely thing I could imagine was that God could die for me, that he could love me, that he could come and do these things for me. It was illogical, and it was unbelievable. And the gospel says, or Paul says in Corinthians 1, that Greeks, they love wisdom, and Jews demand a sign, and the gospel is foolishness to them both, but it is the power of those who believe. It's the power of God to save those who believe. And It is somewhat unimaginable. But when you believe it, it actually changes who you are. There's a night and day difference. There is a transformation that occurs, a metamorphosis. Everybody has seen like a caterpillar, and it goes in a cocoon, and then like sometime later it comes out and it's a butterfly. That is a metamorphosis. Something on the level of a sinner becoming a saint happens during that time of chrysalis, during that time of cocoon, when it's set aside, set apart, and God is doing things in a hidden way that really can't be seen from the outside until that crisis moment occurs and the butterfly emerges, stretches out its wings, and takes flight. That's a beautiful moment. That's an important thing for me. And that's a pretty good thing. So I found it very difficult to tell you what the cross means to me. It's hard to describe. What I will actually find easier to do is tell you what it has done, as I've done a little bit. First thing, forgiveness and a clean conscience. When I said those words, Jesus, I don't know how to be good. I'm not good, but I know you can make me good. I felt an instantaneous clean conscience. And that's pretty good. I knew later on, I began to read the scripture for myself. I'd never done that before, except for Revelation, because it's dragons and horses and chariots and things like that. But then I started reading the other stuff, and it was like, whoa, the horses and the chariots and the dragons, they're part of this spiritual kingdom, and I get to go there too. Heaven is a destiny for me because of what Christ has done on the cross. That's pretty good. Oh, wow, here's another cool thing. That dragon, he gets defeated in the end. Jesus came. He said, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Anybody can say that anytime you want. Just go right on ahead. I like that. The dragon gets defeated in the end. And Jesus said, or in 1 John, he says, he came to destroy the works of the devil. That's pretty good. Now, I owe him my very life. Without the church, you know, without somebody telling my dad and somebody telling his dad before him and telling the person before him, my whole life probably doesn't even happen. Maybe this nation doesn't even happen. Maybe Western civilization as we know it doesn't even happen. And we've got all these things. I have my very life. I owe my family to him. I have an 8-month-old daughter. I owe that to him. I have a job and I have people who love me, and that's pretty good. So what are the odds that this cross is for me? Like a trillion in a trillion? This cross is for you. He guarantees it. He pays for it with his very blood and his very breath. And that's pretty good.